This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We're now joined by the head basketball coach of the Duke Blue Devils. This little game coming up this weekend against North Carolina. You might have heard about it. Coach K, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm jealous. You're petting Fuller there, and Blue is at home, at my home. So, that's not fair. It's not fair.
As you pointed out in the pre-tip-off show, you have a dog. I have hounds. So it's a very big difference there. Big difference.
Fuller is a dog. Don't quit. Give him the proper status.
All right, there you go. All right, let's get into some stuff here. Before we get to all this Duke North Carolina stuff, I do want to point out something that I found to be interesting. That back last June on SiriusXM, you had a town hall with Adam Silver, which you I don't know why you invited me to be there, but I was there. But I found it interesting that the commissioner of the NBA was, number one, absolutely dialed in to wanting to do what's best for all parties involved and was very open-minded and came across that way in the town hall. But one of his frustrations, and you guys talked about this a year ago, really not quite a year ago, was the fact that the NBA didn't know where to turn to with the NCAA for a basketball question or a Q&A. And I know that you, Matt, admitted that, hey, you know what, it's a frustrating thing from a college basketball perspective. Has anything changed on that front since that town hall last June on SiriusXM?
No, and it hasn't changed for a couple decades, really. Again, I'm in my 45th year as a head coach and 40th at Duke, but I've been really involved with college basketball and the Coaches Association behind the scenes with our foundation. And the thing that we have tried, that I've tried to stress over really the last three decades, is to have leadership for basketball, men's college basketball, pinpoint leadership where you have a commissioner or a leader, a chairman, whatever you might call it, and really a body to govern college basketball. It needs to be governed on a daily basis and with a futuristic view. And if you have a person involved in the leadership position, then in Adam Silver, we would have had that person on the show. And Adam Silver, it's called relationships. You know, you don't get things done just by committee when you're in business. You do it by having relationships. That's why Jim Delaney has done such an amazing job for the Big Ten, and he's retiring. John Swofford has done a good, but you can pinpoint. You want to talk about the ACC? Go see John Swofford. Mm-hmm. Big Ten, go see Delaney. You know, college basketball, there's no answer. There's no answer. That's really not acceptable. This is a $1 billion business, and in the last few years, it has changed dramatically with the Condoleezza Rice's commission, the Knight commission, all these different things that people say get rid of one and done and it's all going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. You know, the world is moving fast. The G League is unionized. High school basketball is on TV quite a bit. Those are competing factors. And the fact is that the NBA is a business, and ESPN has a great association with the NBA. They're going to promote the things that will help the NBA. And because they don't have the tournament, you know, there's a stopping point there for ESPN with college basketball. They do a great job, but there's a point where they stop. I mean, with the NBA, they go on forever, just like the NFL. Same thing with Major League Baseball, and we're not tuned in into that in the business aspect.
Coach, when you the other night after the ball game, you're pretty pointed with your comments about your team and in terms of their adversity. It's me. They need to listen to me. And I know from hearing you talk in the past, you've talked about a variety of different intangibles that always impact a team from one year to the next, and they're oftentimes not the same one. Is the attention to detail the number one job priority kind of with this particular team moving forward?
My team listens to me, or else we wouldn't have won 19 games, and I listen to them. It's just that, you know, basketball-wise, or the X's and O's, they listen to that. Human nature gets in the way of how you are emotionally ready for each of your contests. And in the BC game, we played, you know, Jim Christian's done a heck of a job now that he has his whole team together. And they were ready. They outplayed us, especially in the first half. In the second half, you know, we did a much better job. But our team was not as emotionally ready for that level of competition after beating Syracuse and winning. And then I don't know if they were looking ahead, or the fact that we had beaten BC by a large margin a month before on New Year's Eve. And so that's the type of listening I'm talking about, the listening that would get you into the proper competitive feeling that you need to win that basketball game on that night or that day.
Duke, North Carolina, the Heels are not having the year that they expected. Does that make them more dangerous this weekend?
Well, the thing that makes them dangerous is the fact that they have a program. You know, Dean built it a long time ago, and it's one of the top programs in sport. Roy has come in and has not only upheld that program, but has made it even better. And so we're not playing a team, we're playing a program. They have great pride. They've gone through adversity, especially with the injury to Cole Anthony. And they're constantly adapting, and they haven't had the luxury of continuity. But are they good? Yeah, they're good. They're talented. Their two big guys are as good as any of the two big guys that we could face. And in Anthony, you're facing a talent that is a top 10 talent, and you're playing them at home, and their crowd will be unbelievably supportive, and it'll be an amazing environment. It'll be a heck of a win for us, to be quite frank with you, to go in there and handle all that stuff.
You know, we have fun talking about the history of the series, the players, the coaches, and I oftentimes add the respect, because I think the respect between Duke and Carolina is second to none when it comes to great sports rivalries. The other part that I find fascinating is the characters change. The coaches may stay the same, but the characters always change the same, and that's the young people playing on the floor. So this week for Vernon Carey, this week for Cassius Stanley, is anything said differently by you, or is it by somebody else about, hey, look, this is Duke Carolina, and you need to know this is not another game. You're playing for a lot more than just, you know, this particular team and this particular game, or do you try and simplify it?
Well, for us, we like to think that we prepare for a Carolina every game, so that when you get to the Carolina game, it's not something different. You know, we have to be ready every ball game. And I don't want them to be more ready for Carolina and less ready for Florida State on Monday. You know, we every game counts one. You know, like we're 9-2. This is if we have a chance to win our 10th conference game. To me, that's the most important thing. And so we start putting more emphasis. We put extreme emphasis on every game. I don't know how we can put more. And then if we only do it for that game, then that game becomes our championship.
Right.
And we don't put banners up because of beating a particular team. You put banners up because you win championships, and you have to beat a lot of teams. So I just try to stay, don't play like we did at the start of BC, but play like we did, for most of the Syracuse game, what we try to do is tell them the crowd, playing in front of Syracuse's crowd, that helps us going into Chapel Hill. But you don't want to make it bigger than what it is, because every game, again, this isn't coach speak. This is competitor speak. Every time you go out there, you should give your best. I mean, if you guys were going for an operation, you know, were you going to check a doctor that's only good on Tuesdays and Thursdays? You know, I would hope the guy or the lady is good on Monday through Friday, you know, and that the consistency.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to tell you, Stanley is my favorite player in the league. And the dunk he had the other night against BC is about one of about 30, it seems like I've seen this year. You just go, oh, my God. I claim he can dunk it with his knees. You've seen some ridiculous athletes at Duke. How do you categorize what this guy can do? And I know you're going to tell me Packy's got a lot to work on, his jumper. And I'm just talking about athleticism. Where would you put him?
No, he's one of the top kids we've had athletically. And, you know, the thing, and he's had a really outstanding season. Mm-hmm. He has still enormous room for growth. And, you know, one of the main things is to finish in traffic. You know, the dunks, and they're spectacular. And, really a couple of the moves full court against Syracuse really helped set a tone because they were taking it to us, and he had some finishes. The finishes in the half court is where we have to get even better. And I would like for him to think of himself as a better shooter. Like, he is a good shooter. I don't think he shoots the ball enough and from the outside. But he's been for freshman or upperclassman, he's had an outstanding year, but he can be better. He's been a great, great kid to coach.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch young people come in this league, and I know we can, you know, go back in time and talk about guys maturing along the way, but the type basketball player, the type athlete now playing college basketball, coach, I don't know if it's at an all-time high or not, but it sure seems like it. I mean, there's some incredible young people playing the sport now from an athleticism perspective.
Yeah, you know, I agree. The athleticism has gone up. The knowledge of the game or how to play the game has gone down. And part of it is we have so many young players playing prominent roles where they don't learn the game over a period of years. And a lot of it has to do with how they individually work out. They have workout guys, and they work out with the ball all the time. Mm-hmm. But in a game, you know, half the game you don't have the ball, you're on defense, and even if you're a point guard, you may only have it 5 minutes in a game. So learning how to play without the ball is really something that kids in the past knew better than the kids of today. And also how to communicate, how to talk. You might have a Ferrari, but you better learn how to drive it, you know? And that's what we spend a lot of time is teaching how to, you know, the fact you can change lanes and you can go faster and you can do this. And, you know, now what do you do when you don't have that darn thing called a ball? And what's your attention span when you don't have it?
Coach, does it bother you to hear people in the media or regardless of where it is that, man, the ACC is so far down, man, there's nothing going on in this league. They got three teams and that's it. Does that bother you?
Yeah, it does, because our league is really good and you can see teams getting better. A few of the teams have had injuries. Yeah, take Georgia Tech. Yeah, I think Georgia Tech's really good. And they, you know, if you lose the vote for a couple of games, you lose a couple games. And then all of a sudden your record doesn't look good. You know, and you know, I think Syracuse is on a roll. They're playing hard. Look at what Notre Dame is doing. It's just that, you know, I don't know, like, it's on you guys, really, to promote the league. That's why we got the damn network. Quit petting Fuller and start doing more stuff to promote the league, for crying out loud. But no, we have a really good league. We've had hellacious games. And, I mean, the team we just played, BC was really good against us. You know, Clemson beat us, and And they deserve to beat us. They played so well. And I don't know. I think there's, you know, our league is overall has always been the best league over the years. And maybe the standard that people look at our league at is maybe even higher. So they don't give the credit to especially the teams in the middle of the pack. But it's more balanced this year. Last year was top heavy. There were about five teams that were so darn good. There are five teams or so that could have won the national championship from our league. And that made the middle group, it made everybody else look like they weren't as good. But they, we had some teams that should have made it last year that didn't make it.
By the way, I'm worried that, you know, one day it's going to be Mike from Chicago calling this program to talk about things that the network's not doing. But other than that, I think I'm okay.
Well, I think
I'd call you guys privately. I try not to embarrass you in public.
Thank you. Bless you. I appreciate it.
Before we let you go, I would be remiss if I didn't ask, because I know emotionally this had to be tough on you and your family. You talked about it. The loss of Kobe Bryant. I mean, you have coached some of the all-time great players. I mean, how do you put a bow on that? I mean, I still can't believe he's gone, to be honest with you.
No, I get chills just when you ask the question, because it was tragic, shocking. You know, I had the honor to coach him on three teams, and he was really the guy that we built USA basketball on. And he was the best player in the world in 2007 and 8. And having him on the team gave us immense credibility. And then his relationship with that next era of superstars, especially LeBron James, but Carmelo, Chris Paul, Chris Bosh, and these guys, and the friendship that Kobe and LeBron developed set the tone for the culture that we were able to establish and that carried on in 2012 when they played it. You know, they won in Beijing together, then in 2012 in London. And in London, we had that next player of the era in Durant and that young guy who is going to be a player of his era, Anthony Davis. And that combination, I'm not sure it's happened in any sport to bring that level of talent from different eras together for one common purpose, to play for their country, win a gold. And the residuals from that are a lot. And Kobe was mainly responsible for that.
Coach, well said. Thanks for the time as always.
Okay.
Duke Carolina's given us so many great memories. We're looking forward to this year's renewal of the series. Thanks again.
Wait, one question. Like when Fuller needs to go out there in the show, who takes him out?
Packer does. These are Packers dogs, Coach. I'm not really involved in that.
Now, the better question is this. When Blue needs to go out, who's taking care of business back at the Krzyzewski household?
In the rain this morning, an umbrella, I had Blue out. So just understand that. While you guys were sipping coffee and petting dogs.
Yeah.
I was out in the rain taking care of my dog.
All right. You know, you're a good dog owner. We'll allow you back on the show again, and good luck with that Coach K Basketball and Beyond thing. We'll try to do a nice lead-in to your show tonight.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Take care of you guys.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Mike Krzyzewski at Duke joining us here on Packer and Durham.
It's great okay, stuff. Fuller. He's gone now.
Fuller, you're good. You can come back out.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Coach K's favorite dog that's not his.
Fuller's in the good circle of the coach.
That's it. And Chester's sound asleep.
Yeah, of course. 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll get some more of your Duke Carolina memories. Yeah. We'll dig more into this tomorrow as well with Lars Tiffany going to join us, the Virginia lacrosse coach on the Friday show, plus always a chance for us to, you know, goof off on a Friday before we get to the weekend.
I thought before we move forward, I'm going to go backwards a second.
Sure.
And the guy we just talked to,
mm-hmm.
when it's all said and done, when you go back through that resume,
right,
and the people's the lives that he's touched and coached, to hear him talk about the Kobe trickle down, That's like a who's who. Now, you're talking about all-time players, Hall of Famers, and I know that's not a college thing, but again, we know what this guy's accomplished on the college level, which is crazy to begin with.
Right.
But to hear him talk about that impact, greatest players and how, you know, greats want to play with greats, and it's kind of interesting. I mean, that's coming from the source, right?
Yeah, I think that what you have to do sometimes with, you know, people who have been as successful for as long as Mike Krzyzewski has been, I think you have to kind of look at it in different tracks. And for me, what he did with USA basketball, it's unprecedented, okay? And the reason it's unprecedented is because he found a way, and he talks about relationships when answering the NBA NCAA question.
That's how it started.
Right.
That's how it ended.
Here's how USA basketball became a relationship business. He understood that he had to find a way to get guys who play basketball for a living and make eight figures a year doing it to care about their country. Now, I don't know how many times you've been able to interact with guys that played for him on the Olympic team or in any of the world events. The number one thing I've been told by the two or three I've interacted with is he brought someone or something to the table to make them understand what the unique experience was to represent your country.
Yeah, what about you?
Right. He finds a way to make it about the country. And his military background, having gone to West Point, having been a part of that, having still stayed connected to West Point, that track. At Duke University, I think that he is the best example that I can give you of an athletic director who had a vision for what he wanted, and we've talked about this on the show a little bit. I think the greatest gift that Mike Krzyzewski has given Duke is he's rewarded Duke's patience. Because you and I have talked about this. Under today's circumstances, under today's coaching, he does not see a fifth season.
Yeah, if Mike Krzyzewski was a up-and-coming, you know, the hotshot assistant, whatever the case may be, and
correct,
the guy hires him, and he had the exact same record at Duke
right,
as he did after his first 3 years, he's gone.
Doesn't see it. The other thing is this, too. At the time in the 80s when it happened, there was, I'm the new guy, and that's the standard 8 miles away. But it's important people know this, and I don't think it was discussed when Coach Smith passed away. It's been brought up in the renewal of Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski in the Duke Carolina series. The respect level between the two programs and the institutions is second to none in a rivalry-based situation.
Yeah, they still want
second to none. They want to beat each other's brains out.
They want to beat their brains out.
But there's a respect level.
That's right.
And there's a competitive level, but the respect level, whether it's the tragic death of Eve Carson, the student body president at Carolina a few years ago, which as you saw a moment ago in the picture, that's where the teams knelt around the circle. Whether it's the death of Coach Smith, those type things. I mean, you take all these events and you see the respect level. The fact that at the private service for Coach Smith following his passing, Coach Krzyzewski was there.
Yeah.
That shows you what his relationship with Dean Smith, but the Duke relationship with Carolina. I think we can safely say the relationship between the athletic directors, Bubba Cunningham and Kevin White, is a very good one.
Yep.
There's a lot to be said about the good of Duke Carolina beyond who wins the basketball game.
It may be more toxic amongst fans, to be honest with you. There's always been a sense of respect, even with the players.
Sure.
In the off season, they'd get together and play against. I mean, it's just part of the deal, man.
It's why it is what it is.
I will also say this before we go to break, and I know Kelly's coming up. But as Atlantic Coast Conference fans, do not lose sight and take for granted the amount of excellence that you see.
Right.
Whether it was Dean, you know, now what Roy's doing.
Right.
What Jim Boeheim's done at Syracuse.
Right.
The tradition and history of Louisville basketball. What Tony Bennett has done. What Terry Holland was able to accomplish. Lefty Driesell at Maryland. And I'll throw them into this conversation because it's part of the ACC fabric.
Right.
What Coach K's now done now for, as he said, 45 years. The excellence in this league in basketball has been so good for so long that we now have conversations like the one we're having today on the show. Man, there's three teams getting in. Man, the league stinks. Hey, we've had it so good for so long.
Right.
Not just like, hey, they're really good. No, I'm talking about elite, the standard. And, you know, when it becomes just par for the course that you see it every year, you just assume that's just the way it's supposed to be.
Yep.
It's not easy to do. And what this league's been able to accomplish, not only on the court and winning championships and putting banners up, but from an academic standpoint too, Wes, you and I are beyond blessed to have been able to witness this thing up close,
right,
or even from afar, yep, to say, oh my God, I remember, you know, the Dixie Classic to, you know, the early
Big
70s
four.
And right, NC State's great runs with Valvano and Norm Sloan and
yep,
et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it goes on and on and on, and it's what makes this league different.
Yep.
And it's what makes it special.
There you go. Well said. We'll come back. The K Hour continues. That's what we just should have called it today, the K Hour.
Could have.
Because we had Mike Krzyzewski. Did you say earlier he was the opening act? I think you did.
I said, for Kelly, if she's nervous, just think that Kay's kind of the opening act.
Mike Krzyzewski, the opening act for Kelly Gramlich. That's the way we can kind of look at it, unless Coach K asks us.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
A plethora of great guests so far.
Oh, my heavens.
But we saved the best for last.
Right? Yeah, we did. That's exactly what we did.
Just to calm the nerves.
Yeah. Because, I mean, how many times do you get to say the Hall of Famer and, you know, whatever, more than 1,000 games is the opening act to you?
That's it. Is he done yet? I'm ready for my airtime.
Kelly Gramlich, you've been nervous since yesterday, haven't you?
Well, I mean, this is a huge deal to follow Coach K, especially someone I grew up a bit of a Duke fan. My mom went to Duke, so, you know, it's all fine. It's all normal. Not freaking out at all. Everything's good.
Okay. Well, we've enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, nice to have you with us. You did a great job.
You get back to worrying about Florida State, Louisville coming up. All right, let's get into hoops because it is ladies' night, and there are some really, really good games. And let's start with Florida State and Louisville. Cards are fresh off of seeing that national team and getting a little experience there.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida State with a golden opportunity. We'll see what happens tonight.
Big game for Florida State. Obviously, it matters for Louisville, too. And I'm intrigued to see how they handle this, right? They just played Team USA, a game that did not matter, but it was such a cool experience for them. And now they have Florida State. And Florida State, they're down to a 5 seed in Charlie Cream's bracketology. And in the women's game, having a 4 seed or higher is so important because you can host and you get to play at home the first 2 games of the tournament if you win. So this is a massive game for FSU. They had some signature wins in the non-conference, but they have really struggled in ACC play. And they have Nazia Wolfolk back. She's been hurt. It really comes down to the big three for them. Wolfolk, Ekamu, and Kaya Gillespie. I think all three of those players have to have at least 12, maybe more, double figures, but above and beyond that to handle Louisville. And then Louisville, in order to really beat the Cardinals and Florida State to pull this upset, I think they have to hold Louisville under 70. The last time Louisville scored under 70 was a game I called back on January 5th. And they really slowed down Dana Evans. You have to run her off the three-point line. She's the best three-point shooter in this league. So you have to really corral her if you want any chance to upset Louisville.
Kelly, we had Dana Evans on the show yesterday. I was mm-hmm. really impressed, number one, with her talking about what the team needed to do to get better. But second, you just get the real sense that Louisville's got so much experience here. I mean, they understand. Jeff Wall's leadership is one thing. But mm-hmm. the roster kind of, they seem like really focused on the mission. And the mission, yeah, is the ACC. But at the same time, they do such a good job of staying on point, don't they?
They do. And a lot of that is credit to Jeff Walls. I've had the chance to talk with him a few times at shoot-arounds this year, and he is just so impressive. And the culture he set there, there's no complacency with that team. Dana Evans, as you mentioned, she's always looking to get better. Same thing with Jasmine Jones, Kylie Shook. You have Elizabeth Balogun, who's come on strong. And I think Dana Evans, and it's really a testament to their culture and their program. Last year, she was the 6th woman of the year, came off the bench, really took a backseat to Asia Durr and the rest of those guys. But this year, she has stepped into that role of alpha dog just flawlessly. She's one of the leading scorers in the ACC. She's the best shooter in the ACC. And she's so hard to slow down. So you have to give her a ton of credit. And I think it's a reflection of Jeff Walls and his culture there.
Kelly, it appears it is a two-team race as of right now with Louisville and NC State. And the Wolfpack tonight cannot be looking ahead to the showdown in Louisville coming up because they got to go to Virginia Tech. And the Hokies are one of those kind of teams playing good basketball. And if the Pack is not focused, this could be a problem tonight.
For sure. I affectionately call Castle Coliseum the barn. I think you guys know this. It's so loud in there, and it's just, you know, they're all on top of you. It's a tough place to play. And the Hokies are undefeated at home. They're 11-0 at home this year. I've been very pleasantly surprised with the Hokies. They're one of the better teams in the ACC. They're currently an 8 seed in Charlie Cream's bracketology, and they can shoot the lights out. They have 3 really good guards. So NC State's guards have to come to play with Koenig and Crutchfield and Kayla Jones. Those three have to be ready. But the key for Virginia Tech, you have to find a way to slow down Elisa Cunane. She's been so good as of late, especially, and she gets to the free throw line. She's been to the free throw line over 10 times in multiple games recently, and you can't let her do that. I also saw Virginia Tech quarterback Hendon Hooker tweet about this game, so we might see him in the stands. I expect a huge crowd in Castle Coliseum tonight.
All right, Kelly, I want to ask the loaded question here to the analyst. Mm-hmm. Dana Evans or Elisa Cunane right now for Player of the Year in this league?
That's a tough question. I am Team Dana right now. I love what Dana Evans has done. And maybe it's because I'm partial, because Dana can shoot the heck out of it.
Oh, I love players
that can shoot the heck out of it. I'm definitely biased. And, you know, Elisa Cunane's been great. But in their one loss, she really struggled. And Janelle Bailey was super physical with her. And she struggled in that kind of clunker of a game for NC State in Chapel Hill. Dana Evans, at times, she's had some struggles earlier in ACC play. Her teammates have picked her up. But as of late, she's been crazy. She's a threat to hit 7 threes a night. You don't know. And then once you get out on her, once you run her off the 3-point line, she's so good in the paint at distributing and scoring inside. Great free throw shooter, averages a couple steals per game. She's excellent. So it's Dana Evans right now. There's still time for Cunane to kind of push back and see what she can do in that Player of the Year race. But right now, I'm Team Dana.
All right. I want to ask you about another struggle, the struggle that Georgia Tech is going through with Mel Fortner. Look, nobody needs to go through losing streaks during the course of a season, but they're living in the land of the bizarre now. I mean, they're losing games in ways where you're kind of like going, now, wait a second. Is there, you know, some terrestrial deal going on here? How does Georgia Tech find it again?
Well, I called their game on Sunday against Notre Dame, and right. Notre Dame was so good inside. Mikayla Vaughn had 20 points, and she was incredible. But the issue for me with Georgia Tech is pretty simple. I think they're settling for way too many threes. And I hate to say that because I love shooting threes, but they don't need to be shooting that many threes. Over their last 5 games in this 5-game losing streak, they're shooting 17% from three. That's awful. And in most of those games, they're shooting about 20 of them. You right. can't do that. And Nell Fortner even told us that. She wishes her team would not focus so much on the 3-point line and just attack the basket. Lorella Kubai is a great post inside. She's a great passer. I think you have to play more off of her. And then Georgia Tech, they have to find a way to turn their defense into offense. They're such a defensive-minded team. At one point, they were number one in the country in scoring defense, but they've really struggled to turn that defense into points in transition. Easy transition points can make offense so much better for you and make it just feel like it's flowing better. So I think that's the key for Georgia Tech. But right now, I think it's mental. They're a little domed up right now with those losses, and they're struggling to find a way to win. They have Pittsburgh tonight. That's a good chance to get back in the win column. But right now, they've played themselves out of the NCAA tournament, which is so unfortunate because I thought they had a really good chance. There's some time left, but they have to start tonight with a win.
Jack, it's still looking for their first win against Notre Dame, which is a crazy streak, too. We just had Coach K on, as you well know, your lead-in. And we got this Duke North Carolina thing coming up this weekend. We also have Duke North Carolina coming up tonight. The Tar Heels have been a pleasant surprise. Really an important game for Duke, though, isn't it?
Well, you know, I love Duke UNC both ways. I think it's the best rivalry in sports. And the men's side's been great. But this women's game tonight, I would say it's more important. And it's almost better than the one we have coming up this weekend, because these two women's teams have a very good chance to make the NCAA tournament. And UNC right now is a 7 seed. What they've done under Courtney Banghart has been tremendous. And then Duke has come on really strong. They won 4 of their last 5 before losing a heartbreaker to NC State. And so the key for Duke is they need a signature win. If they're going to finish around 500 in league, which I think they can do, they need to get a signature win. This would be a good start. And then they have to find a way to knock off someone else later on in the year, but this could become a quad one win for them, and they have to find a way to slow down Janelle Bailey. They struggled against Kunane. Bailey is kind of a similar challenge to Kunane. And the big matchup here to watch in the guard play is Haley Gorecki versus Taylor Kunin. Taylor Kunin has taken a significant step in her game under Courtney Banghart. She's coming off a career-high 26 points versus Clemson. So I'm really excited for that guard matchup. And, you know, there's just a healthy amount of hate between these programs, and I just love it.
A healthy amount of hate.
I tell you what, this show, if nothing, has been full of quotes today.
Yeah, good quotes.
I mean, we have gotten a lot of quotes in this. all right, tell us about the desk tonight, because last Thursday night it was you and Elena Beard and Monica around the table. We had Jen Hildreth, LaChyna Robinson. They'll be at Cameron tonight. Pam Warden, Debbie Antonelli will be in Louisville. I mean, it is truly ladies' night, Pac. I just want you to know that.
Now, I told you the ladies are running the network. It might as well be ladies' night.
By the way, you guys share the ball at the table. That's three shooters at the table. So I'm glad to see the ball got cut up and distributed the right way last week.
Yeah, you definitely have to share the ball. Monica and I think we both consider ourselves chuckers, so that's a problem. Thankfully, Elena Beard can play all the defense because I don't play defense. So Elena Beard can handle that. That's great. She's one of the best defensive players in the history of the game. But yeah, ladies' night, super excited. Ladies all across the board coming off National Women and Girls in Sports Day. It's pretty cool to have all these ladies on the call. And I would very much encourage you guys to tune in because these two games, I think it's our best back-to-back slate on a Thursday night with Duke UNC and Florida State Louisville that we've had all year. I can't wait to see what happens. And we'll be breaking it down for you, plus all ACC at 10 p.m. afterwards.
Look at that. I mean, we've got a promo here, and we're going to run it, but that was the promo.
Oh, yeah,
right
sorry.
And by the way, you did a great job as the headliner in the Power Hour this
week. Oh, man. I just don't feel comfortable with that.
Just call your mom and say, Mom, I handled the headline. It was no big deal.
I had to carry Kay again.
There you go.
Classic.
Thanks, Kelly. Have a great week.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, you bet. Ladies' Night is tonight right here on ACC Network.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
You bet. Ladies' Night starts right tonight. Carolina Duke from Cameron, 6 o'clock. Jen Hildreth, LaChyna Robinson. And then Florida State, number 17 at number 5. Louisville, Pam Ward, Debbie Antonelli will be there. And as you know, Monica McNutt, Kelly Gramlich, Alana Beard will be there for all ACC following the doubleheader right here on ACC Network and also the ESPN app. When we come back, we'll set the table for you, and we have a prize to open. We got another offer in the mail. I think it's from our friends at the University of Virginia. We'll see what they've shipped from Wahoo Wah when we come back.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Final segment of the show. 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll take a quick call before we open up our gift, whatever that may be, from the University of Virginia.
Ahead. Take that call.
That'll be Scott, I believe, in North Carolina that's been holding patiently. Scott, good morning. How are you?
Hello. How do you think the Cole Anthony injury is going to impact tonight's or How do you think the Cole Anthony injury is going to impact the season for North Carolina?
Well, so far it's impacted it since his return, Scott, to be honest with you, in a negative way. Carolina just has not played well. They're 0-2, obviously, but I think some of the things Seth Greenberg talked about, they haven't shot the ball well, the turnover rate. His particular performance, if you take away Notre Dame, has just been kind of wobbly, to be honest with you.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Not having Robinson. It really puts even more pressure on Cole Anthony to make plays. And, you know, you just can't have nights where you're missing 17 shots because if you're taking a bunch and not making any, not only is that 0 points, but you're not getting anybody else into the ball game, right? I mean, nobody else is getting touches. So,
I would agree.
He's going to have to play lights out. But I mentioned this the other day. Now, every time you think this game's going to be a blowout, and it's not often, it's amazing how competitive those games get.
Well, and I would also say this, too, about as it relates to Carolina's cause, not just Saturday night, but the rest of the way, Cole Anthony's health and getting the ball to Garrison Brooks, because the two games Cole Anthony's been back for, Garrison Brooks has not played well. And prior to, Garrison Brooks was, a house of fire now. He was playing great. You mentioned the Robinson injury. I would also say it's incumbent to get the ball to Brooks, too.
How about touches, period? I mean, yeah. But if you're just going to stand out there and just fire threes all day and right. clang them all night, I got news for you. That's a long night, if that's the case.
By the way, the Julius Erving Small Forward of the Year Award candidates have just been announced. And they feature Devin Vassell, Florida State.
Well-deserved.
Jordan Wara, Louisville.
No doubt.
Elijah Hughes.
Oh, good for him.
Of Syracuse.
Good for him.
There you go. They are finalists.
I'm glad to see Elijah Hughes get some love there.
Yeah, why not? Oof. Played well. How about that block last night?
Yikes.
Odi Aguama thought he had a hammer, and Jordan Wara pulled the nail. I mean, yeah, Elijah Hughes against Georgia Tech. We could roll that highlight anytime his name comes up. You got to get out on him, Malik Moore.
Yep, no doubt about that.
There we go.
Okay.
That's good. Are you ready?
Let's see what we have here from the University of Virginia. I told you yesterday I'm absolutely knocked out on some great pain medication, and this is delivered to the door yesterday from the University of Virginia.
Fuller thinks this is for him, but it's not.
He's thinking that Coach K sent him some treats.
That'd be nice if Coach sent
K some
treats.
K seemed to really bond with the labs, didn't he? Oh,
he's got a lab.
Yeah.
All right,
what do we got?
Huh.
Now another...
You know what this is?
I do not.
I'm going to show
you. I have
you.
No earthly idea what it is.
This is the documentary that is going to premiere on ACC Network.
Oh, cool.
1186 to Omaha. Narrated by Carl Ravitch, by the way, whose son Sam will be on coverage of women's basketball this weekend here on the network. 1186 to Omaha is the documentary. This is the promotional poster, if you will, and we've got it right here.
Like it.
That's cool. Brian O'Connor and the story of Virginia's national championship in baseball. Now, the problem is we've developed a bit of an issue in this room here.
You know what? I think that, you know where that would look really good up against the Southern Sports Award back there, the big number
one. In the corner behind Vicky and I on our wedding night at Grant Field?
I think it looked real good right there. Go ahead. I'll cover you.
You want me to take care of that?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. So Wes is going to go ahead and – put that in the background, because we don't really have any baseball stuff yet, because it's not quite spring-like, even though we're close to being springtime. Is that going to fit?
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. There it is. Look at that. Couldn't have been a more perfecto spot.
Like that?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
Let it rip.
There you go.
All right, so you go. And we will eventually make the transition, as we did from football to hoops with all the basketballs.
Yeah, we got a lot going on here.
Then we go from hoops to baseball and softball and all that other cool stuff. Well,
we got new furniture coming in. We got all sorts of things there.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, 115 shows in, and all of a sudden we're going to have to do a little spring cleaning here at some point. Stay 70 degrees in February. We'll be doing that spring cleaning sooner than later.
Definitely need to disinfect the joint, I can tell you that much.
Oh, man.
All the germs we got down here right now.
By the way, on this show tomorrow, we mentioned Lars Tiffany will join us. Talk Virginia lacrosse. They're here. Oh, yeah. Are you going to put that on one day?
I told you when they sent this
thing. I know you put it on.
I put it on and drove around in my Ford F-150 for 2 days going down the road with this thing on. I'll put it on if you want.
No, not. Okay, you're going to put it on now?
I'll put it on right now.
No, don't put it on now. Don't do that. You're not feeling great.
That's all right.
You got everybody else sick?
Yeah, I got everybody else sick. This is P sick. No, wait a minute. Well, I'm probably need to take these out.
No, keep those in. That'd be good. There you go. Look at that. That's good.
Lars, how are we doing? We ready to defend the championship? That's what I thought. Let me tell you something. When I drove around the Ford F-150, you get to a red light, and you just turn around and look at somebody, and they're like this. I'm driving down the road. Give me my camera again. You're going down the road. All of a sudden, you stop. And if you're beside me in the truck, it's like this. Tell me I didn't have a good time with the Charlatans. Look at the freak.
Just keep that on for the rest of the show.
Whatever you want. Makes no difference to me. I told you, if you send it, I'll wear it. I told you that from day one.
Couldn't we get a picture of the Lumberjacks' reaction to this, please, Biana?
Pack is really sick. It quarantined his entire head. Yeah, boys. You know what?
Drew, come on. Drew Brooks on the right. Josh Macri on the left. Drew.
Let me tell you what Drew's thinking.
We're having a moment here, aren't we, Drew?
Drew's thinking, you know what? I could use that when I cut down another tree this afternoon in my chainsaw. Oh, what are you? I mean, God. It's What's wrong with you people?
Gotta be safe.
Macri is, you gotta be
Macri
kidding me.
Macri loves it.
Macri does.
Macri, yesterday you were Brandon Ingram, today you're Jason Voorhees.
There you go. I knew Macri would like it. You know why? Those Syracuse dudes love lacrosse, man.
Big lacrosse guy.
That's it. I knew Macri would be into it.
Yesterday he was Brandon Ingram, today he's Jason Voorhees.
I gotta tell you, I'm down 13 pounds.
No, you're not.
I am. You know what I had for breakfast this morning?
No. What'd you have?
A Jell-O. Those little Jell-Os.
A Jell-O.
I felt like it was back in like the second grade. It tasted so good.
All right. Real quick. Let me check with the Lumberjacks here. Lars Tiffany on the show tomorrow. Keith Gavin, the head wrestling coach at Pittsburgh, will join us.
Yes, sir.
Ahead of the Friday night duels.
I love the duels. You know that.
Patrick Williams of Florida State from Charlotte. We'll do a little hometown interview with Patrick Williams, who had a big ball game Monday night against Florida State. I cannot. There's no chance. By the way, thanks to Seth Greenberg. Joe Lunardi was fantastic on this show.
You're going to say fantastic?
He was very good.
He's very good, Pat. Let me just say one thing about Lunardi.
Joe was very good, and we look forward to him coming back.
Let me say one thing about Lunardi. We got the committee this weekend is going to let us know, the top 16. I asked him point blank with a straight face without the lacrosse helmet on from Virginia, the national champs. I just want to know where he thought the three ACC teams were going to be. I'm not sure I got an answer there. Just saying.
All right.
Coach K was outstanding.
I thought Joe was very good. Lonnie Alameda, very good.
She's always good.
Always good. Kelly Gramlich, sensational. Patrick Williams, Keith Gavin, Lars Tiffany on the Friday show, plus your calls on Duke Carolina memories. We rolled off six of them. We could have rolled off 20 of them. We want to hear from you tomorrow on Tar Heels and Blue Devils.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun, too. And we'll pull some still photos from some of the classics in the back. Like if we can get the Art Heyman, Larry Brown fist fight, we can get Dudley Bradley holding the ball on his hip in 1978. We'll go for all of it tomorrow.
By the way, I just got a invite from LinkedIn Network.
Yeah.
You're part of that?
Yeah, sure am.
Hey, Mark, would like to join your LinkedIn Network. Who? Kevin Salvador.
Speaking of Duke, Carolina.
North Carolina guy right there.
Yeah.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.